Welcome to the Jazz Notes podcast. I am your host, James Stratton, and tonight we are celebrating the 50th episode, which this is, as well as being a year on the podcast airwaves. Sorry if my throat seems a bit dry. I've actually been fighting this sore throat for a while, so if you hear long pauses, it's me drinking water. And then we're at the end of kind of going through your questions. So this will kind of be like the 50th episode celebration / 1 year. I'm going to go over some listener questions that I got in. Also go over kind of how well the podcast has been doing so far. It's actually been going pretty off in the recent months, mainly due to the Jazz success, I believe. So yeah, I started this over a year ago, actually February 21st. It's been a while, so it was, I thought it was the 27th, but then I forgot that. So it's been over a year, by a year and like a week now. But I thought it was the 27th, but that's I started on a different platform, and I switched to a different one on the 27th, and so that's what happened. But I started the 21st, so it was right after All-Star Weekend last year. And I kind of wanted to get into it because, well, I'll talk about it later because that's actually someone's question. So anyway, so I started a year ago. The first game was against the Spurs, where we lost by 9 points. So it was kind of a bad start to the podcasting. And that was kind of when the Jazz were kind of getting set up to all these setup games where teams, because we ended up losing to the Rockets and then the Celtics. And these teams were pulling their good players and resting them, and the Jazz would lose to them because it was kind of a trap game. So, yeah, so I started then. So since then, to be honest, the podcast didn't really do so well until the bubble. And then I think people were kind of getting antsy about everything, and so I got a pretty good spike. I'm gonna actually look into my podcast analytics. Got a pretty good spike at the beginning of July, and then I got a job in Utah. So I moved back from Colorado, and so I stopped doing the podcast, and I actually dipped down a bit because I wasn't continuing this. And then when I came back, that's when it really, really started spike. And my biggest spike was actually in January, and it's kind of died down a little bit since then, but that's because of the Jazz winning streak, I believe, but it hasn't dove down too much, so still keeping me motivated on continuing this. The really cool things is that the platform that I'm on, it's anchor.fm, will actually tell me the countries that listen to my podcast, and that's total or recently. Last time I counted, it was 14. I think I'm up to 16 now. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 13, 14. No, I'm up to 15 now. So I only got one more. So the countries that listen to me is United States, of course. That's no surprise. With only 80%. Of the country, or of my listeners, are from the United States. The rest, in order by listenership, I guess you'd say, is the Philippines, Ireland, United Kingdom, Taiwan, Canada, Sweden, France, South Africa, Morocco, Portugal, Thailand, Lebanon, Spain, and the newest one is Japan. So it's pretty cool to see where everything's coming through, who's listening, and all the spikes and whatnot. And I can actually go in a little bit deeper into like the United States and see like what states listen to the most. Of course, it's Utah's number one. I actually have to go into the full Anchor website, so let me do that right now. So as far as states inside the United States, let's see here. Sorry, I should have this pulled up, huh? Here I am, disappointing you are. Utah is not even 50%. That's the surprising factor of this. We're at 47% here in Utah, with Texas at the 20% mark. And then Virginia, Colorado, Montana, California, Massachusetts, Maryland, South Carolina, Washington, Ohio, Illinois, Arizona, Idaho, which is surprising. I thought Idaho would be way up there because it is Jazz territory up there. New York, Michigan, and North Carolina is the bottom. So it's, again, it's pretty cool to see where everybody's coming from. It also kind of talks about who listens to what platform, and Apple Podcasts is number one, with Spotify number two. Google Podcasts is actually surprisingly up there, because I thought they discontinued that. So maybe that was just from the before time, before they discontinued everything. So that's pretty much my update as far as getting into a year from now. And I'm actually going to get into your questions. I decided to go through personal life first, and then kind of getting into the NBA. So the first one was, this was actually from an email. What is your full-time job? So I work on helicopters full-time, repair them, and just get them flying. That's pretty much my full-time job. So yeah, it's pretty interesting that, you know, I listen to a lot of sports podcasts. I also listen to podcasts where that's what people's main jobs are, is doing the podcast. So just remembering that some of these smaller podcasts that you listen to, they do this all on their personal time, a lot not getting paid, including myself. And I'm actually don't really want to get paid. I just like doing this because it's really fun to do, especially when I interact with other people and other group chats that I get to be on, especially on Instagram, and kind of jab with each other, and definitely brush shoulders and get on other people's podcasts, and hopefully get more people on this one as well. But it's kind of hard limiting myself just to Jazz analysis, and I might have to branch out in the future. What other hobbies do you have besides the Jazz? Yeah, this is pretty much my hobby. Some other hobbies I do play basketball on my own time. I haven't done that much since moving to Utah, but I used to do it all the time in Colorado when I lived there. Other hobbies is I like working on my truck. I have an old 80s truck that I like working on whenever I find the time. And most importantly is just spending time with my family, going on drives. It's kind of cold right here in Utah, so it's hard to do things outdoors, and we like being outside a lot, especially my kiddos. They love being outside. Next one, this is another email one. Have you ever visited any countries besides USA? Well, I've been to Canada. Does that count? No, I've been actually to a lot of countries. I've been everywhere, man. You know, Johnny Cash. That's dumb. I can't yell right now. Anyways, so I've been to the European area, mainly Germany. Spent a lot of time in Germany. I think a total of like 5 or 6 months in Germany. Also traveled like Italy, Switzerland, Austria. I went to France for a second just to go to the bathroom. That was kind of a dumb joke for me, but I was bored. Went to the Czech Republic, also, and went to Hungary as well. I also been in the Middle East area, Tajikistan. I've been there, UAE, Kuwait, to name a few places. And also Iraq and Afghanistan, of course, working on helicopters out there. And then the final areas I've been to, like just areas, is the Caribbean area. That's where I went on my honeymoon, went to Curacao. That was pretty much our favorite spot when we went on that cruise. Jazz Country asked me this one, on Instagram. It's jazzcountry_. So I'd like to give a shout out when somebody who makes their own fan page asks me questions. So it's pretty cool to get them in. What made me get into podcasting? basically just me watching the games, and my wife used to watch with me a lot before the kids kind of got a little more rowdy. Now she kind of just takes them upstairs while I'm watching the game. And I'd used to comment a lot of things like, "Hey, watch, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that." And she kind of got me a little interested in doing it. I'm not a very good public speaker. I don't speak well. But she said, "You know, I don't know." She's thought that I'd be good to do it. I also, felt like, getting a voice out there that's a little more impartial, because it's really hard to listen to Jazz fans, because it's either this team is actually absolutely amazing, there's nothing they can do wrong, to all they can do is wrong, and we need to tank to get the number one pick. And we saw that pretty much on the Mitchell's first season. Also, again, seeing these bigger Jazz sites, these bigger Jazz sites out there that are really selling product now, and they're not really selling the Jazz and like information on the Jazz, besides like sharing stories that other people have written. So I kind of wanted to do it myself, get into it a little bit, see if I like it. I do love it. I actually love it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I thought I was going to end the last season, and then I decided to come back this season and really stay committed to it, seeing how I was more settled. And yeah, I love it. Some days it's a little hard to get into it, especially when you can do other things, like right now go to sleep and maybe go to work in the morning if I'm feeling well enough. But that's pretty much what made me get in the podcast, just staying with the Jazz. Being brutally honest whenever they're doing good, being brutally honest when they're really not doing good or doing good. And that's what I try to do. I try to be unbiased, even though I do have my biases. I get it. I mean, but other than that, that's pretty much it. And to connect with more Jazz fans, I think that's pretty cool as well. Jazz Country actually asked me a few really good questions I decided to put in. Favorite Jazz memory. So this was the 2007 Western Conference semifinals versus the Golden State Warriors. This is the Believe team. They beat the number one ranked Dallas Mavericks in the first round, and so we're facing them after we won a pretty competitive series against the Rockets. And my favorite Jazz memory is Game Five. So we won that series 4-1. I was in Salt Lake City. I was in the game at Game Five. I was up in the nosebleeds, but it doesn't matter. The game was just amazing, loudest I've ever experienced in that in the Energy Solutions Arena is what it was called then. But just or no, I think it was still called the Delta Center. I'm not too sure. But no, it's just absolutely the loudest I've ever heard in there, and it was just so crazy. Everyone was just so crazy about this team. My favorite memory from that game was Deron Williams getting purposely tripped by Baron Davis, because it was pretty much the game was over, and I think Baron was pretty fed up. So that yeah, that's my favorite Jazz memory. First Jazz game attended. Was April 10th, 1998, against the Clippers in Utah. And we have a program here called Junior Jazz, and I think pretty much all the states do it now, or all the like areas around teams do it now. It's like Junior NBA or something, but it wasn't that way back then. It was always Junior Jazz, and I didn't really hear any much the thing much about it, like Junior Clippers or Junior Lakers or whatnot. So what they do is you play, with your age group, and then at the very end you get to go to a Jazz game, and it's always a home game, and it's always usually against a team no one cares for, like the Clippers. At that time, since I was a big Lakers fan because I love Shaquille O'Neal, kind of regretting it now, I was cheering for the Clippers just because Utah annoyed me. I didn't live there that long. It was like my third year living there. So I was kind of annoyed with everybody being so obsessed about this Jazz team. But here I am doing a podcast about it. So ain't that hypocritical? And then I got a few who asked me this question. Last Jazz game attended was the Jazz versus the Nuggets in Denver, January 30th, 4 days after Kobe passed away, so it was kind of still looming on everybody. Mitchell only had 4 points that game too, so it was like the worst performance I've ever seen Mitchell have. And that was actually one of the funner games I've been to. Were more fun, if funner's not a word, Jordan. But anyways, besides the 2007 Jazz Warriors game, that Nuggets game was probably my second favorite game I've ever been to, because me and the fans around just talked crap with each other. But it was like no malice or anything. It was just everyone having fun, especially when Mitchell didn't score till the fourth quarter, and everyone's all yelling at me. It's like, "Where's Mitchell? Where's Mitchell? We came to make a shot, you know?" And they're all yelling at me about it. I'm like, "Ah, whatever." And then he makes his first bucket in the fourth. I'm like, "Ah, Mitchell scored on you guys." You know, it's just some fun. Man, some fun banter going on. And honestly, it was real fun. We ended up losing, but it was still a great time. It was also kind of when COVID was starting to rear its head, as well. It was kind of like, should we go to the game? Should we not to? It was still a little too early for people to know what was really going on, if it was very serious or not. Oh yeah, and add to that Jazz memory, I went to the game four of the Spurs Jazz for the final, this conference finals, and the Jazz were down 2-1, and we're all hoping they win, but we got blown out by the Spurs, and pretty much leaving, we're like, yeah, we're not going to the finals, and they ended up losing in five. But no, that team had a really good chance to get to the finals, but that Spurs team was just ready for them and more experienced. And then hard hitting podcast, Jack and Jordan. I don't know who asked me this, but I'll answer it. My all time Jazz lineup. So, that's hard. I mean, it's really hard because I do have my biases on this one, but I have to, you know, even though I grew up not liking Stockton and Malone and Hornacek, Brian Russell, I didn't really like them growing up, especially Ostertag. I really didn't like that guy. I actually liked him because he always seemed a way to make the Jazz lose. I do have my biases about everything because I did grow up, you know, liking the Jazz past 2005 on. So those players kind of come to my mind first. But just being honest with myself, my all starting lineup, I'd have to say John Stockton, Pistol Pete, Andrei Kirilenko. And I say that because there's some caveats to that. It's like, are we playing right now? Or is it just all time? If we're playing right now, you definitely have to have Kirilenko in there defending against LeBron James, Kevin Durant, all these small forwards that are dominating the league right now, Kawhi Leonard. So you really have to have Kirilenko and kind of our Royce O'Neal at this point. But I think Kirilenko is a lot better defender. But also biasy because he is my absolutely favorite player ever. So I'd have to say that. Then, of course, Malone. And then we have to talk about the center. Are we talking about right now? Because if that's the case, I want Gobert in. If we're talking about the 80s, of course, Mark Eaton in instead, even though he was primarily a no, I was thinking of Thurl Bailey. So I'd have maybe Mark Eaton in. It just depends on what era. If we're talking about overall, I'd probably still pick Mark Eaton over Gobert. So that's kind of the starters. I know I left a few people out, but let's go into reserves then. So reserves would be D. Will, of course, because, you know, during his dominant years. Spider Mitchell, definitely have to have him as the backup. AD, Adrian Dantley, Carlos Boozer, depends if it's his contract year. Definitely Carlos Boozer, but. Because that's when he was good, was during his contract year, it seemed like. And just going back on another story, I was in Iraq working on helicopters, and we had this little pool going on during the playoffs, and it was when he was playing for the Bulls, and they didn't really know how he played during the season. I'm like, Well, it's not a contract year, so he's not going to do that well this playoff series. And sure enough, he was absolutely garbage, and I called it. They lost the series, and everyone was pretty much praising me for knowing basketball and everything. But, you know, I just knew Carlos Boozer, and I bet against him, and I won. And then the reserve is, yeah, depending on who's starting, Eaton or Gobert, probably Gobert if we're talking about all time. Yes, I did leave out a few people like Griffith, Hornacek, but mainly Mitchell has won me over to have that dominance to really put them, you know, early into his career at that high step already. Definitely a lot of players missed out. I get it, but it's my list. It's mine. It's not your list. So if you have a different list, go ahead, hit me up and I'll share it on Instagram. I really don't care. I have thick skin. So that's pretty much the mailbag questions I got. I say mailbag, but it's on Instagram and my email. So yeah, thanks for asking me some questions. It was really good to sit down and think about some of these things for sure. So let's get into the game. I'll kind of rush it through, mainly because we lost. So the Jazz come in 27-7. Pelicans are 15-19. So again, the first quarter, Jazz again getting just shown up inside. I know this Pelican team is really good on inside the paint. They're the number one team, I believe, scoring inside. So I get it, but I mean, it just can't be that easy. They also start again with their oh man, my throat is really killing me right now. I'm going to pause this. Sorry. All right. Sorry. I'm back. If I can't finish this, I can't finish it. I'm sorry, but at least I got the 1 year anniversary part away with. So Rudy makes one from the top of the key. He actually made two in a row. The first one didn't count because they called a foul. So he's 20 feet away from the rim, just stretched the floor because Steven Adams was totally cheating on him, staying inside the paint well far. The defense is picking up a little bit for the Jazz, thanks, of course, to Rudy Gobert. And halfway through, the Pelicans are up 14-10. Bogey is just hot right now. He is on fire. He has three great threes to start. Two of them were wide open and one was contested. But the Pelicans are still killing the Jazz on the interior, especially with Gobert out and Favors in. I mean, it's a lot to ask for Favors to come in and you know, just that more intensity for teams to really attack the paint when Gobert's out, and the habit of teams to do that. He's doing the best he can. He's again doing a lot better than, man, I can't even think of his name from last year, Bradley. Doing a lot better than what he was doing last year. But again, he did step up as well at times. After one, Jazz are down 26-23. Getting to the second quarter, Clarkson is just willing the offense right now. He scores threes. He's getting to the free throw line. He's making really good assists. More assists than I'm usually used to from him during these games. And the Jazz off-ball movement is just getting a lot better. It's kind of stagnant in that first quarter. Just people not moving around a lot. Whoever had the ball was the only one moving. And then maybe if they're getting the pick set, that person moves. And, you know, once in a while you have a person do a backdoor cut at the three-pointer line. I like to call it the backdoor cut at the three-point line because instead of getting behind defenders at the baseline, they're doing it at the three-point line and they're kicking it out. Sorry. Both teams are trading buckets at this point. Just defense on both sides are really not pressing at all. And halfway through, Jazz are up 47-42. After this, Jazz get up by 10. The Pelicans fight back and get back into the game before it really gets out of hand for them. But going into the half, the Jazz are still up 64-59. We score 41 points and we allow 33. So again, not really good defense from us in that second quarter. Third quarter, the Pelicans are really running the floor and trying to get the quick basket inside before the Jazz can really get back on defense. And it's really working so far this quarter. The Jazz now are not making anything at all. Not really hustling easy either. At times they just seem a little too comfortable, like, ah, we got this game. And that shouldn't happen right now. The Pelicans are getting shots up with like 10 to 15 seconds left on the shot clock. Just a very, very quick side. and too many turnovers from the Jazz this quarter, and it's mainly with them being way too comfortable, making lazy passes, not talking to each other either, because I believe it's Mitchell running down and he gets picked off and nobody yells at him that, hey, there's a player behind you. It was Zion, I believe, who's about to pick your pocket. And, you know, he saw the frustration on his face when I think it was Bogey who was on that side. Didn't yell anything. So just lack of communication is really hurting the Jazz right now. And whenever they're doing these turnovers, the Pelicans are answering. And we just got to clean up this game before it gets too late. Halfway through, somehow the Jazz are up 77-75, but it doesn't feel like that at all. The Pelicans are just constantly getting whatever they want inside. I just can't fathom how we cannot stop this. We just can't stop it. I mean, at times, I don't know why, but Bogey is defending Zion Williamson. I don't get it. But at the same time, you have to think, oh, is he going to guard Ingram instead? Is he going to guard Steven Adams? So, but anyways, on the offense side, still nothing is falling for us. The Pelicans are just going off on the run and just really getting this lead built for them. And the Jazz cannot stop Zion Williamson. He is just getting in the paint whenever he wants, whatever he wants to do. He's just doing anything, really. Joe Ingles is just completely off this entire game. He just can't get anything in. Even if he's wide open, he's not being himself, really, as a ball handler. And at times, he's just not moving at all. Rudy is not getting any help inside and having to defend the paint all by himself. And it's just been time after time and time after time again. It's like, oh, we're handing it to this two-time defensive player. This is your two. Well, yeah, he's guarding two people in the paint at all times, sometimes three, and then fighting against 3 to 4 Pelicans all the time on the rebound. I mean, every single time Williamson and Steven Adams was in there, what is his name, Hernandez? I can't even remember right now, but they're all in there just crashing the paint, and Rudy's pretty much doing it by himself, and it's just to a point where, come on, people got to step up and help him out sometime. Hernan Gomez. Oh, sorry about that. I know he listens anyways to get offended about it. So at the end of three, the Jazz are down big, 99-88. We allowed 40 points in that quarter. 40. And we only score 24. And it's really attributed to the Pelicans' overall aggressiveness into this game. They brought it into this half, and the Jazz definitely did not. Going into the fourth quarter, the Jazz just look exhausted. They can't get any shots in, and they just can't stop the Pelicans at all. They're also giving the ball away constantly. I think they had 3 fast into this quarter. We came and make a dunk. We missed 2 this half, 1 from Rudy, 1 from Mitchell. So that's just how it's going right now. Halfway through this quarter, the Jazz are down 117-105. At one point, the Jazz played iso ball in an important possession to get this lead cut down to single digits. Did not work at all. Ate up 24 seconds at the clock. And then they don't get back on transition defense, and ball hits a 3-pointer, and it just made the game feel over. But now, finally, the Jazz defense finally steps up, and they're allowing them to cut into this deficit. I think at one point they get like 7 stops in a row. And finally, Mitchell is coming in big very late into this game, getting to the free throw line, making his lay-ins. So, man, just sometimes this Jazz team just down 17 and now down by only 1 point. And honestly, it's really impressive to end this game. But it just ends with a dumb shot by Conley. But before that, let's kind of back up. Gobert gets over a back call, which I don't see how it's an over a back. They should at least challenged it. But he tries to get this rebound over Zion Williamson, and he's nowhere over his back, like reaching over. So I don't understand where the call came from. But the other thing I don't get is, Was it an offensive foul or is it defense? Because Zion got to take two free throw shots after. So, anyways, but overall, just a dumb shot by Conley trying to get a foul call at the 3-point line. Even if he did it, he'd only got to shoot 2 points. We just never tried to get to the foul line for a shot. I mean, you don't shoot to get fouled. I don't get that sometimes. And the Jazz make a bad habit out of it at times to stop, try to get bumped, and then shoot off balance and then miss it and not get a call. Can't be playing that kind of basketball. Also, when we're down by one, I don't know why we're shooting a three. We can easily try to drive it into the paint, make it. That's another questionable call that we made. So the Jazz lose 129-124. It's very bad decisions at the end for this loss. Another bad decision is like whenever we didn't get something done, instead of, you know, running back on defense, we just let them score an easy layup. I mean, they didn't make any baskets at the free throw line at the very end to you know, stay in the lead. So, you know, just a few questionable things happened at the very end of the game. So the Jazz score 36 points, 30. So it is a very, very, besides that first quarter, bad defensive game. These numbers are starting to creep up on us whenever we allow more than 25 points a quarter. So over 25 points going into the second, we're now 10-6. Over 50 points getting into halftime, we're 12-7 now. Just terrible. That one's really bad. So we can't let them have over 50 points going into the half. Over 75 points going into the final quarter, we're 14-8 now, and whenever a team scores over 100 points on us, we are 16-8. So not terrible, but at the same time, just not great. Let me get into the stats. I forgot to write them down again because I am a terrible host right now. So we shot 46%. They shot 57%. In that pivotal third quarter, I believe they were like 63% and we were like 33%. So just that's what lost us the game pretty much, was that third quarter. Rebounds, we got out rebounds. So whenever we get out rebound, we pretty much lose the game, it feels like. 39-53, and that was the problem with the Miami Heat game. And man, it felt like they had a lot more, but we only gave up 10 offensive rebound, but it just felt like so much more. We had 26 assists on 46 field goals made, so that's around our 60% mark we'd like to see. We had 11 steals that game. We actually did really well in the defensive times, but just didn't translate to the scoreboard. Like 11 steals, we had 7 blocks, but I mean, whenever we turned over or had them turn over the ball, which was 13 times, we only capitalized 14 points, and we only turned it over 9, which is great. You can't ask for more. They scored 15 points on us, so they definitely capitalized more on that transition part of the game. So let's get into the notes of the game. F note being the worst, ABC note being the best, with A note the best player of the game. I only do Jazz players. I had one person comment about Jimmy Butler on my messenger saying, no, Jimmy Butler was the A note. No, it's only Jazz players. I only care about the Jazz. I'm sorry. I don't do the game notes. But anyways, so the F note of the game, Joe Ingles. Just 0 points. 0. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 turnover, and he had the team's worst plus-minus margin at negative 11. C note of the game was Jordan Clarkson with 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. Bojan Bogdanovic really stepped up in that first half, but after that, he was pretty quiet. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 3 steals. And then Rudy Gobert with our A note of the game, mainly due to thanks to his defense. 22 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 5 blocks, 5, and 1 steal. So that pretty much wraps up this podcast. It's a little bit longer, but kind of celebrating our 50th episode. Our next game is going to be Thursday or Wednesday with 76ers. I'll kind of get into more of the standings after that because I'll be exactly halfway through. Then Thursday I'm getting on the Hard Hitting podcast to talk to them about the season so far and how it went. So until then, look forward to hearing from you guys and seeing you guys. And as always, go Jazz.